Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week is Parshas Be'aloischa. Parshas Be'aloischa has many different things to it, many different sections. The mitzvah of the menorah and kindling the menorah and how the menorah was made. The preparation of the Levim to serve in the Mishkan and later on in the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvahs of Pesach Sheni. The whole story of the people complaining for meat and so on and so forth and other things. I want to start by just focusing. Today's shiur is going to be a little bit shorter than normal, but I want to just focus on one aspect of the parsha, and that is that we have two psukim at the beginning of Shishi. This is Perek Yud, chapter 10, pasuk 35, where the Torah brings the two psukim of Vayihi bin Soya Ha'orein. The two psukim that we say when we take out the Sefer Torah, that when the Orem would travel, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, let Hashem rise up and our enemies will be scattered and so on and so forth. So it's like Vayihi bin Soya Ha'orein, and then the next pasuk is Venucha Yoimar, what he would say when the Orem would then come to a stop, when the Yidden would rest and reconstruct the Mishkan. In the Sefer Torah, you will notice, and in the Chumash, it's copied as well, that these two psukim are kind of cordoned off. They have an upside down nun on either side, kind of like a Torah brackets. And it appears that this is like a sort of a separate section. Right after the section of Vayihi bin Soya, the Torah continues, Vayihi ha'om kemis'oinonim rabba ozne Hashem, etc. That the nation, ha'om, the nation, Rashi actually says the word om refers to Rashoim, when people are wicked, like it says in other psukim, ha'om hora hazeh, because when Yidden are behaving in the Midbar, they're called Ami, my nation, but the nation is normally a reference to when the Bnei Yisrael were not behaving themselves, or to the wicked among them, and so on. And the pasuk says, Vayihi ha'om kemis'oyanim, the people were complaining, and then there was a fire that came out and consumed them, and so on. And then it goes to the whole thing of the asking for meat and the slav and all of that, which is explained in this week's parasha. So these two psukim vayihi bin soya ha'orein, the reason that it's cordoned off in sort of a separate section, there are various opinions. One opinion is brought down in the Gemara at the very, very end of Gemasech to Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tesvav, 115 Omud Beis towards the end. And one opinion is brought down there that Tanur Rabbanan, Rashi quotes this as well, that the reason that you have these two brackets on either side is because actually this parsha by Vayihi bin Soya should have been somewhere else and it's put here for a reason and so on. But I want to focus on the second opinion. And the opinion is Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, Lo yimin Hashem hu zeh. It's not because this parsha is in the wrong place. Elot mipnei shesefer choshev hu bifnei atzmoi. Because this sefer, this two psukim, is like a separate important book in the Torah. It's like a separate thing. It has its own significance, its own prominence. And the Gemara explains that this is something similar to what Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Omar Rabbi Yonason said, based on a pasuk. And the pasuk talks about Chatzva Amudeo Shiva. It's a pasuk in Mishlei that she carved seven pillars. And this is a reference to the seven books of the Torah. The seven books of the Torah. That in fact, there are seven books, seven Sfarim of the Torah, which is a fascinating thing. Because we all know, and every child knows from when they were born, and they learned in Cheder, they learned in school, that we have Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the five books of the Torah, as they call it in English, the five books of Moses, and so on. Always about the five books. Suddenly we get to learn that, in fact, there's two psukim in the middle of Parshas Be'aloischa, which are considered a separate sefer, which therefore means and results in the fact that actually there are seven svarim, there are seven books in the Chumash. Bereshis, Bamidbar, Bereshis, Shmois, Vayikra. Then Bamidbar, from the beginning of Bamidbar until Vayihi bin Soya. Then Vayihi bin Soya itself. And then a third one in Bamidbar, starting Vayihi Yom Kemis Oyinim, the people complained, until Ene Bamidbar and then Dvarim. So it comes out there are seven. And what that means is that what we know as Parshas, as Sefer Bamidbar, is actually divided into three Svarim. So this is something that really needs to be understood. First of all, what that results in is that the Sefer, the sixth Sefer of the Chumash, which is the third one in Sefer Bamidbar, starts with a very negative thing. It starts by Yehiyo Om Kim Misoinanim. The people that complain, as we said before, Om is referring to wicked people. Not the normal style of how the Parsha, how things start in Torah. And normally it always starts in sort of either a neutral or kind of very, very positive note. So that's a very strange phenomenon. Second of all, what is this idea of the Chumash having seven books when we know always, we are always used to the concept of Chamisha Chumash Torah? Third thing, it's interesting that if we do examine this and explore this, that the Torah has seven books. This division that makes it into seven books because of the Sefer of two psukim starting by Hibin Seha'aron, and therefore Bamidbar is therefore divided into three Svarim, all happens in Parshas Ba'aloscha. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out in a talk about this is there must be Bahashgacha Prati, so something means it must have to do with the concept of Parshas Ba'aloscha on some level. I want to just share with you an idea which is from a talk that the Lubavitcher Rebbe gave in Tovshin Nun Aleph, 1991, on the Parsha, and explained the following idea. He says to understand this, we have to go back to the beginning of the parasha. You know, the parasha would have the mitzvah of kindling the menorah, where the Torah says beha'aloscha es hanoiris, that Aaron had to be instructed beha'aloscha es hanoiris when you kindle the menorah. But the phrase for kindling is a bit different than what we normally have. You know, when we make a bracha on lighting Chanukah candles or Shabbos candles, we use the term lahadlik, to kindle, to make burn the fire. Here it's behaloischa, when you bring up, when you kindle the menorah. Says Rashi, behaloischa, what does that mean? Al shem shehalav oile, the word haloischa comes from the word aliyah, that you make a flame and the flame ascends. And why does it use that expression, says Rashi? Different to the normal lahadlik, so to speak. Because our rabbis tell us, says Rashi, mikan, he says, the Kohen had to kindle the menorah until the flame was then going up, kindling, burning upwards on its own. Meaning you have to hold the match there or the candle there, the fire there, until the flame is able to burn on its own. And that's the expression Beha'aloscha. But many Mefarshim explain that this expression, Achitahei Shal Heves Oilem Eilea, until the flame can actually come up and burn on its own, is a very, very important phrase, spiritually speaking, and the lesson is a very strong lesson. Often it's used in chinuch, in education, where we talk about teaching a child. Teaching a child is similar to kindling an neshama, to kindling a soul. But the real way to teach is to teach the child in a way that the child becomes less dependent on the teacher. And the whole success of a teacher is that when you teach a child is then able to stand on its own two feet. It can learn on it. The child can learn on his or her own. The child can then be spiritually strong independently without having to be completely dependent on the teacher or the guide or the mentor and so on and so forth. So this is a concept in Yiddishkeit. It's a concept in Avodas Hashem, that Avodas Hashem has to happen in a way Shehei to Shehei Shal Heves Oile Me'ileha, that the flame should always be able to come up on its own. Now, this can be expressed and manifested in so many different ways. One of the ways it can be understood is when a person does Avodas Hashem. You know, when we serve Hashem, we have two parts to us. We have the neshama and we have the guf. We have the soul and we have the body. The soul is naturally spiritual, naturally godly. The soul is what guides us. The soul is what kindles our menorah, so to speak, kindles our combined candelabra, makes us burn, makes us spiritual, makes us godly. And then there's the guf which executes, the guf is the one that does the mitzvahs, the guf is the one that serves Hashem. But we know that the guf, the body naturally resists this concept. It's the neshama inspiring the guf, it's the neshama guiding the body to serve Hashem. And that can be done in different ways. It can be done where the guf is forced, so to speak, right? So it's completely dependent on the spirituality of the neshama, and the neshama has to constantly guide and inject this inspiration into the body to serve Hashem. But here the Torah is telling us that the way to do it is that the flame has to start doing its own thing, which means it has to burn independently. Which means, although the body, its nature is to do things that are self-centered, that are self-absorbed, that are more hedonistic and materialistic, and not to serve Hashem. And it's only serving Hashem, it's only doing things counter to what it really wants to do, because the neshama is making it do it. The real idea is that the yid serves Hashem, that the neshama is able to have such an impact on the body, that the body, the flame, is burning me'ileo independently, that it becomes the nature of the body. That the person, even from the perspective of his or her physical being, it becomes natural to serve Hashem. It becomes just naturally second nature, so to speak, or first nature, to serve Hashem, to learn Torah, and to do mitzvahs. Now this itself can happen in two ways. One way it could be is that the neshama had such an impact on the body that it changed it. In other words, the body itself is physical. The body itself pursues materialism. But the neshama, so to speak, has worked with the body to such an extent that it's now had an impact that it's shifted. It shifted the body and changed its nature. It's kind of added something it didn't have before onto the body. And now the body becomes like a godly body that's able to serve Hashem. That's kind of one way that this process could take place. But there's a deeper thing. The deeper thing is as follows, that we know that in essence the body is connected with Hashem. In fact, in Kabbalah and in Hasidic teachings, we learn that on one level, in one context, the physical body has a higher source than the neshama. The creation of Gashmis, the creation of physicality, the creation to create something that is a creation of Hashem and totally dependent on Hashem, but at the same time seems to resist and seems to conceal godliness and seems to fight against godliness, more pursuing materialism, we learn that this actually comes from a very, very strong, it comes from the essence of Hashem, who is so infinite, the essence of Hashem is so transcendent, that I can create something physical that is totally dependent on him and yet appears to resist him. So without going too much into detail, the concept here is that the body really at its core is actually holy. The body at its core is godly. Even though the body seems to be something fighting godliness, but at its core it is so godly that in fact has even a higher origin, a higher creative, more powerful source, more infinite, creative, godly source than even the neshama. Now, of course, it's the neshama that has to reveal this, and it's the neshama that is openly and in a revealed way, completely holy, and therefore it needs to work with the guf to reveal this. But it's not that it changes the body; it's not that actually it just reveals something different or adds a dimension onto the physical. But really, it reveals the body's true source. It reveals the body's true identity, true essence, that it in fact is a creation of Hashem and is able to facilitate and to express godliness through learning Torah and mitzvahs. It is what the body really is, not just something different. In other words, all the resistance that the body gives is more superficial. It's not really what the body really is. The flame burning on its own is really means that it's been revealed in the body what it really is, and now it's able to do it independently. The same thing can be extended to the way we approach the world in general. Our job is to bring Torah mitzvahs into the world. Our job is to bring Kedusha into the world. But really, we can apply the same principle, Achetahei Shalheves Oile Meileo, until the flame is able to burn on its own, which means we have to make the world a godly place, a place that is naturally godly. But it's the same idea. It's not just about adding, or not about changing it, not just about breaking it. It's actually about revealing the true essence of the world. The truth of the world is that the world is a being that was created by Hashem with a very powerful force. The world in its essence can be a vehicle to facilitate and to express and to manifest godliness. That's what the world is. It's just that God created in a way where it conceals godliness and it appears to operate in a way that is totally resistance to the divine will and to the divine powers. But in essence, that's what it is. And therefore, we work with the world. We also have this thing. We ignite the world. We bring kedusha. We bring light to the world. But it has to be ashetehe shalheves oile me'ileha until the flame burns on its own, because we reveal that in fact that's what the world really is. Now let's take this idea and come back to the five books of the Chumash or the seven books of the Chumash. So we have this concept Kabbalistically about the difference between five and seven. Five represents holiness in its core sense, in its own sense. We have even this week in Pirkei Avos, where we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of the greatest sages that lived during the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. He had five Talmidim. We also find elsewhere that there are five levels of the Neshama. Now, this also expresses itself in the Midos. We know that our Neshama has five emotions, which means five ways we work with the world, we respond to existence. It's Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, and Malchus. But what we find our Pik Kabbalah is that the first five are different to the last two. The first five is how a person creates the response, creates the emotion, experiences the emotion within himself. So a person has Chesed, it doesn't mean to say that Chesed is actually being done to other people. It's the feeling of Chesed that we have within ourselves, the feeling of Gevura, the feeling of Tefillah, until we get to Hoyd, the fifth one. So the Kabbalah makes a very clear distinction between the first five and the last two. The last two, which is Yesoid and Malchus, is about taking what we have within ourselves and expressing it to the outside. Yesoid means the idea of having a relationship with someone or something else. Malchus is the idea of actually implementing it and make sure it actually happens on the outside and has an impact on the outside world. So five is more the internal. The last two, the seven, is more what it does to outside of it. So therefore we can understand that when the neshama on its own is more connected with the number five, whereas when the neshama has a impact on the body or on the world, changing the physicality, revealing its true identity, shalheves oile mehilea, that's already the idea of Yesoid and Malchus, which is the idea of the number seven. So therefore, when we talk about the Chumash normally, we talk about Chamisha Chumash Torah. There are five books of the Torah. The Torah is connected with five. The Torah is the source of holiness. The Torah is the source of Kedusha. The Torah is Kedusha. Everything about the Torah is pure and can never be contaminated. As we know, that Torah cannot be Makabil Tuma. Torah can never receive impurity. That's the normal mainstream approach to the number of the Svarim and the Chumash. But now comes the Gemara and says, there's actually, if you break it down more, there's seven. Because the purpose of Torah is to influence beyond the Torah. The Torah is the five, the Torah is the Kedusha. Torah is like the Neshama, but the Torah has to then change the world outside of the Torah, the world that appears to resist. And that's why when you break up the Torah into seven parts, we have something very unique about the last two. The second to last, as we mentioned, is Vayihi Yom Kemisoinanim. The nation, the wicked nation, were complaining, meaning it's talking about an environment that is resistant to godliness, that is fighting godliness, similar to the body. Even the book of Devarim, which will then be the seventh, Eila HaDevarim, these are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu said, really talks about Toichach, talks about how he's rebuking them for the things they did wrong. In other words, when you break up the Chumash into seven, the first five are just pure holiness, the last two is the environments of resistance, the environments of the opposite of Kedusha. And although we don't normally start something with something negative, but here it's a different context. The context is that the five is changing the seven. That revealing the true identity in the world of resistance. The true identity of the six and seven, the world of the six and seven, which is the world that is concealing and fighting godliness. The true identity is that they're actually connected to God and it can be changed, and therefore their flame can burn independently, their flame can burn in a way of Kedusha and Torah mitzvahs, just like the Neshama can, because that's its true identity. It's the five that makes it happen, but it makes it happen in the seven. So this explains the whole concept then of normally having the thing of Chamisha Chumshe Torah. It explains the Chiddush of the two, of dividing it into seven. It's the Torah having an impact on the world, but an impact where it reveals its true identity, that the flame can burn on its own, and of course the connection to Parshas Baloischa, because this idea of revealing the true identity of the one that we are influencing, that the flame can burn independently, is the concept taken from the beginning of Parshas Baloischa. Have a very good day and a very good Shabbos.